This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome into the Fan Evening Show. I am Jason Mackey. Thanks so much for that, Joel. I appreciate it. It's good to be back. I was here last night with Charlie Borges. We had a great time. We're going to do the same thing tonight. Have a lot to get to. The lead topic is fairly obvious. I'll circle back on that. We're going to get into some Pirates discussion. They're off today, as Joel mentioned. They're in San Diego, one of Major League Baseball's best road trips. Absolutely love that place. If you ever have the opportunity to go, do it. More than that, though, want to get into some storylines with the Pirates. Henry Davis, chief among them. Alexander Canario. If the tide is changing a little bit. A question I've been wondering about O'Neill Cruz and how he's considered by Pirates fans, who their all-stars are at this point. I'm kind of Paul Skenes'd out, to be honest with you. I was on with the PM guys this afternoon, and it was a good discussion. I'm certainly not complaining about that, but there's a lot of Skenes talk. I want to talk about other stuff. The merits of Bubba Chandler coming up now versus later in the season. Steven Brault's going to join me at 8 o'clock. To go over a lot of that stuff. We're nearing the end of the Penguins coaching search. I do expect Kyle Dubas and the Penguins to name a head coach, a successor to Mike Sullivan here in the coming days. Dubas's deadline was the very beginning of June. Logistically, the NHL scouting combine is in Buffalo starting June 1st. Dubas is going to be up there at some point. Doesn't mean he has to be up there right away. But that's something that they probably need to be mindful of as they wrap up in-person interviews. Dubas, of course, was in Stockholm, Sweden for the IIHF World Championships. I've got some thoughts on their top three at this point and how that group seems to look. I have some very strong thoughts about who should be their next coach, who should be the leader in that group. Mitch Love, Capitals assistant. DJ Smith is also on the list. Jay Woodcroft, the Austin Bechtel doppelganger. Joel, did you hear about this?
I did see your tweet. Yeah, that was pretty good.
You disagree? You're allowed to disagree. I'm not going to get mad if you.
No, I'm good with it. Maybe just a slight bit, but I'm somewhat with it. I see it.
It's a slight. Okay, it's a slight stretch. That's okay.
90%. I see it.
I mean, it's like Bechtold in 10, 15 years. So by that point, he would be what, 25? Something.
Yeah, something
25
like
or
that.
30. Something like that. Nah, limits is the man. So anyway, I want to get some Penguins coach talk. Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now, he'll join me at 9 o'clock. We'll go over that stuff. I tweeted this out, though, our lead story tonight, and I want to start structuring these shows a little bit differently, the Fan Evening Show. I really like this. By the way, this is one of my favorite settings for doing radio. I've really come to like the approach that you can have on this show. You can kind of go outside the norm. You know, the morning show cuts it up one way. Pomp and Joe cut it up another way. The PM team cuts it up a third way. And coming in here on the evening show, and I'm not here all the time. I'm here sometimes. Obviously, the Pirates take a big chunk out of that during baseball season. But you can kind of go a different direction. And so I wanted to kind of have a different discussion, as frustrated as I think we all are at how this has devolved. And it just continues to linger. And I was over at Steelers OTAs on Tuesday and Wednesday, and there's just this awkward vibe. I don't want to say Paul, you know, that's a little too strong, but there's just an awkward vibe around the team. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying I think the Steelers are going to stink, because I don't believe that. I still think they can win 9, 10, 11 games. They're not going to be elite, but they're not going to stink. I went on a rant, I don't know, a week or two ago about the Dan Orlovsky comment about they're going to be staring at 0-6. Give me a break. That's silliness. But I do think that they're in an inideal spot right now. You know, and I'm not sure they fully grasp the way this Aaron Rodgers thing looks. And I don't know if anybody's telling Mike Tomlin really how it looks, and that's a problem. We know Mike Tomlin is the driving force behind this. I can't imagine Arthur Smith is the one really pushing for this. Arthur Smith, in his second year and needing to have a much better performance, probably wants to know who his quarterback is. Art Rooney, I think, is allowing it. Because if Mike Tomlin would step to the plate and say to Art Rooney, look, I don't want this. I want to know who my quarterback is. Let's go. Art's not going to fight him on that. He's the coach of the team. It's not Omar Khan. I can't imagine Omar would want to have his cap situation, his team building situation disrupted in this way. Who would want that? It's Tomlin, because he feels that this is what's best for the Steelers. And if Aaron Rodgers would have signed a month ago, maybe I'd agree with him. I understand why. I understand what he's going for. The longer this drags out, I mean, this is almost like a, I don't know, a staring contest, or we've come so far, we're not turning around now. I used the analogy last night of a movie. You've seen half of it. You want to stay for the rest. I get that. At the same time, it's okay to walk out. It's okay to say, you know what? I'm going to worry about the guys who are here. I'm going to worry about the guys who want to be here. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to prioritize the right things with my own group. But they are pretty far down the line on this. So that brings me to my lead question of the night. As I say, I want to open up the phone lines early on. I think that's when we get the most interaction call-wise. 412-928-9370. Mike DeFabo of The Athletic will join me at 7 o'clock. And we'll kind of go from calls. We'll have a discussion about this. We'll go from calls. We'll hear from Mike. I've got some other storylines from Steelers OTAs that I want to unpack. Jeff Hathorn, Odyssey Sports Director, was on the South Side today collecting audio and reporting, and we have some stuff to play for you. I want to play that and react to it in real time. Obviously, a lot of baseball talk, a lot of hockey talk. I like bouncing around on topics on these shows. It's a lot of fun. But my question for you is this. If the Steelers could do this over, do you think they would? Do you think they should? I know it's fictitious, it's a straw man, whatever you want to say. I have to believe they would, my own opinion. If you could go back in time and you realize what this is going to become, how much this is going to drag on, there's nobody who would sign up for this, right? It would have made way more sense to sign Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. I'm still sort of baffled that they didn't. The Russell Wilson thing I completely understood. I didn't think that was worth it. I don't think they're a discernibly better team with Russell Wilson. Justin Fields, I think they could be. I didn't love the contract that he got from the Jets for the Steelers. I thought it was a little much. I understood the Steelers not wanting to give up that much money, especially the guaranteed total. As we look at the Aaron Rodgers situation, though, I do kind of have, not buyer's remorse, but like lack of buyer's remorse. But in any case, if you're the Steelers and you look at this situation and somebody gives you a mulligan, are you taking it? They should. I'm of the opinion Art Rooney II should have stepped in by now and told Mike Tomlin, look, your track record evaluating quarterbacks has not been great. There are some things you do well as a head coach. Let's admit those. There are some spots where you haven't been as successful. Lately, that's a quarterback. Are you absolutely sure that this is going to work out? And if Tomlin said yes, I can't imagine what intel he was acting on, because I fail to understand what Aaron Rodgers is doing. I fail to understand what Art Rooney II heard that led him to say at the owners' meetings that he feels good about where this is at, that they're not going to wait forever and that they feel like an answer is coming soon. That teased everybody. A lot of people thought that that's what was going to lead to Aaron Rodgers signing here, that it was going to happen fairly quickly after that. If you can't make up your mind between then and now, and don't forget there was obviously some flirtation before that, I don't know what you're waiting for. if football is that secondary to you, that's not going to work out here. All of a sudden, you're not going to flip the switch and get the requisite amount of buy-in. And the upside really isn't worth it. Do I think that Aaron Rodgers could add something to the Steelers? Yes. At the expense of the problems or the annoyance that it's causing, it's not worth it. If the Steelers could do this over with Aaron Rodgers, would they? Question number two, if this flops, is it more Mike Tomlin's fault or Art Rooney's? Whose fault is it? Will there be consequences? Should there be? I do go back and forth on that last part, and that's intriguing to me. If this doesn't work out, like let's say either Rodgers signs here and it goes horribly bad, and the Steelers win 4 or 5 games. Do you look at this and say, Mike Tomlin, you screwed up? Or do you look at this and say, man, Mike Tomlin's playing chess. The rest of us are playing checkers. Mike Tomlin got the Steelers to the bottom out season that puts them in position to draft high in 2026. Good job. I don't know which it is. I don't expect the Steelers to like turn around and fire Mike Tomlin no matter how this goes. We've seen enough evidence to the contrary. But I do think it's interesting if this blows up, either because Rodgers signs here and doesn't play well, or because Rodgers doesn't sign here and Mason Rudolph maybe turns out to be a disaster or something like that, and the Steelers wind up with a 4, 5, 6 win season, how that looks for the head coach, and whether people are upset about that or happy about that. I don't know. How would you look at it? So anyway, want to have a conversation with you. 412-928-9370. That's going to be the first portion of our show. Again, I have Mike DeFabo at 7, Stephen Brault at 8, Dan Kangurski at 9. Bounce around. We'll go football into baseball, into hockey, and then who knows what. First call right now is GP in Gilpin Township. Wants to talk about Terry Bradshaw. I'm guessing some of Bradshaw's comments the other day. What's up, GP? You're on the fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I agree with Terry wholeheartedly. They screwed up my man picking. They should have brought him along with a quarterback coach. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they were completely fair to Kenny. That being said, I don't think Kenny played well enough to really, you know, cry me or something. You know, I think there's two sides to the story. Sure.
There's two sides of each coin. Now, my other statement is Chuck Knoll made a good statement here years ago when he was still around. He said, empty barrels rattle the loudest. You know what that means?
I do not.
That means the least amount said about somebody, the better. So I agree with that statement wholeheartedly with Rodgers. This is a complete debacle on Tomlin's and Rooney's fault. It's both of their faults, I think. You asked the question. They need to just come out like the Giants did and just come out to the fans, the Steeler fans. Do them justice. They're paying the top dollar to go watch a game. They're paying $30 for a beer, $15 for a hot dog. Just come out and say, look, we're done with this. This is a... It would be a complete disaster if he signs right now. Just let Rudolph run. Just run with what you got and just play it out and see what happens. You know what I mean? If you're 500, if you're 6-10, you're not going to make the playoffs with Rudolph, and you're not going to make him with Rodgers. Do you agree? Because he's not in there learning the book, playbook.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're setting themselves behind a little bit by Rodgers not being here. I do think they could make the playoffs with Mason Rudolph. I don't think they're a threat. I mean, I think they would just get in. Maybe they win a game. I mean, they're not any more than that, and I don't think they're any more than that with Rodgers. So, I mean, I ultimately agree with you. I think the bottom's maybe a little bit higher.
Right, and I mean, he's not going to be able – I think Rudolph has a – I mean, he's younger – and he did good for that three-game span. You know, everybody says, well, that's just 3 games. I think he'll do okay. He'll win some games. You know, they'll lose some, but I don't see – what's one more year with Rodgers going to do? I think we try to – next year we should go for it all and get my man Manning. Trade up and get Manning.
Yeah, he needs to beat out a sixth-round pick first. Or whenever Quinn Ewers went, I mean, this whole like crowning Arch Manning as, you know, the next one. I mean, it's because his last name. It isn't because his performance thus far at Texas. But, I mean, if they bought him out, they need to take a quarterback high. Arch Manning might be in that conversation, sure.
You're right. And then my man Will Howard there, who knows, maybe he's okay. See what he does in the preseason. I mean, they're going to give him a chance in the preseason to see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, how many sixth-round picks do you see come in and play right away, though, GP? That's hope is not a strategy.
Well, no. He's going to compete in the preseason, right? He'll give Rudolph a run for his money, right? But Rudolph ultimately is going to be the starter. So you run with Rudolph, and if he flops on his face 8 or 9 games into the season, then you see what my man Will Howard has for the rest of the year. See what he got.
I like what you did there. Run with Rudolph, huh? Yep.
Right.
Very nice.
There you go.
Rocking around the Christmas tree with Rudolph. I appreciate the call, GP. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye.
A lot of calls rolling in. Thanks so much, folks. We're going to get to you very soon. Have to get to a break. First, want to tell you the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at southhillskia.net. Again, feel free to weigh in. Whose fault is it if the Steelers blow this? If they had a mulligan, would they take it? Should they take it? Let's have a discussion about it this first hour. Very open-ended, me and you. Your call's next. The Fan Evening Show, I'm Jason Mackey. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Jason Mackey here with you this evening. Joel Nelson producing behind the glass. Before we get to our lead question of the evening, talking about some theoretical thoughts on whether the Steelers would take a mulligan on Aaron Rodgers if they could get one. Make sure to join Pony and Muller this Friday at Piata at the Point in North Fayette. The PM team will broadcast live and collect donations for the Fan 5 Alarm. Stop by and help them fill the boot. You can also get a 2025 Fan 5 Alarm Marathon t-shirt for a $20 donation. All proceeds go directly to the fund to help volunteer firefighters. Again, if you want to get involved in the conversation going on right now, 412-928-9370. Thanks so much to Colin, Paul, and Don, who have waited out the commercial break. Let's get to your calls now. Colin in Irwin wants to talk about Mike Tomlin. What's up, Colin?
Hey, Jason. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Just a couple quick points. I just think that with the whole situation with the quarterback going on right now, it's really more apparent than ever that the Steelers organization did not have a plan for after Ben Roethlisberger retired, and that's having a huge effect on the team right now. As far as Mike Tomlin goes, I think that at this point in his career, the winning record isn't something that he should really be measured on. At this point in his career, we need to be measuring his success based off of playoff wins and you know, beyond that. What would your opinion be on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on the Tomlin part. We should be measuring his success based on playoff wins. I'm not interested in above 500 seasons. I mean, I look at what the Penguins did, and I'm sorry to blab on this, Colin. I'll try to be quick. You know, I look at what the Penguins did, and I thought it was the exact right approach. Mike Sullivan's a very good hockey coach. He's just not the right coach for this team right now, and I think that's where I'm at with Mike Tomlin. He might be a very good football coach. He's not the right coach for this team right now unless I see some playoff success very soon. I would disagree with the idea that they haven't had a plan post-Ben. They've had plans. They haven't had good plans. They haven't had successful plans. Like, what they've tried has not worked. They drafted a quarterback in Kenny Pickett that did not work out for a variety of reasons. I think some of that's Kenny. Some of that's Matt Canada. You know, you bring in Mitch Trubisky. Any steps they've taken, they just haven't been very good. So, I mean, they've tried post-Ben plans. They just haven't worked out.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And like that last caller, GP, I definitely have a little bit of optimism with Will Howard, but that's obviously remains to be seen. You know, we'll have to see how the Steelers can actually develop him.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man. Have a great night. Yeah, I mean, Will Howard, in what I saw at OTAs, and you have to be careful to read too much into any of this stuff. I mean, Will Howard has looked good. He's looked interesting. Maybe there's something there. I'm not looking at him as a week one starter. I mean, right now, Mason Rudolph has looked like the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's because of that's what he is. Maybe it's because we're comparing him to Will Howard and Skylar Thompson. And I don't have any problem with Mason Rudolph being the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, I wouldn't have had any problem with Aaron Rodgers coming here. Like I said at the top of the show, I do understand the logic behind trying it. You know, if he would have signed a contract in March or whatever, like, I get it. You take a shot. You know, the upside is that the Steelers improve. I do think that with a competent offensive line, you can get the ball out a little quicker. You probably have a better option, you know, involving more weapons on the outside. But I just don't want to put up with the residual effects here. You know, and I can't imagine most of you listening, people following the Steelers, really have much of an appetite for it either. So I'll shut up. I want to get to your calls. Paul in Washington wants to talk about Terry Bradshaw. What's up, Paul?
Hey, I wanted to make some comments as far as what Terry said as far as the Steelers failing Kenny Pickett. Now, that being said, he was absolutely right. If you take a look back, we didn't have an offensive line that could even run the ball. We didn't have an offensive line, for the most part, that could even protect the guy. We didn't have receivers that we needed. We didn't have a plan. We didn't have an offensive coordinator. We had a coach that didn't know what the hell he was doing. And he's continuing to this day not to know what he's doing. But I want one more thing on Terry Bradshaw. They were talking about Junior not wanting to retire Bradshaw's jersey. You know, he ought to thank his uncle, Art, his dad's brother, because his uncle was instrumental in all of this. How do I say it? In the draft, he was scouting. He ran the scouting department back in those days with the other gentleman, Bill Nunn.
I mean, what's your point, Paul?
These two got the point being is Terry Bradshaw should have his jersey retired, and the Steelers didn't have a plan. And am I glad Kenny Pickett's gone? Definitely, because he's a whine and cry baby, and I can't wait till he comes to Pittsburgh. And he gets a taste of Pittsburgh justice. You have a good night, young fella.
All right, Paul. I appreciate it. Paul's fired up, man. He's got thoughts. I mean, I agree with most of what he said. I agree with most of what Terry Bradshaw said relative to Kenny Pickett. I mean, I don't think it was intentional. I don't think Kenny Pickett got a fair shake here. You know, on the other side, like, Kenny Pickett didn't perform and didn't hold up his end of the bargain. So I'm not going to sit here and, you know, cry tears of sadness over Kenny Pickett. And I also don't like the way he handled things. Like, you know, somebody's brought in ahead of you when you didn't play particularly well and you throw a tantrum about it. I'm sorry. I would have traded him too. I don't have any patience for it. You know what? You didn't earn the right to be the starter. If he had a 95 rating or, you know, he's really playing lights out and the Steelers did that, maybe you've got a case. I think his rating was like 78 or something like that. You know, Kenny Pickett brought it on himself. Did the Steelers do everything they could to support him? They tried. It didn't work out. There were failures here. And if you want to say that, that's fine. But, you know, we've taken this Kenny Pickett narrative, and this is a little bit off topic, but we've taken this Kenny Pickett narrative and ran with it that, like, you know, they intentionally screwed over Kenny Pickett or something. And maybe I'm just inferring something that I shouldn't. I just don't understand that, and I don't agree with it. All right, Don in Parts Unknown wants to talk about quarterbacks. Don, I don't know where Parts Unknown is. Is that in Pennsylvania?
Well, actually, right now I'm calling from the Isle of Malta, but you don't have to spread that out. So, I guess my questions tonight are more philosophical than anything else. When did we, as a pro football society, get into such a hurry to be winners? Case in point, the other linguist that was on before me mentioned Terry Bradshaw. Well, he sucked when he first started. I mean, let's face it. It takes time to build that kind of stuff. It really does. And another suggestion is, I mean, take a look at Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman came out guns a-blazing, you know, from college, and he got there, and he took his lumps. And you know what? They gave him a chance to learn. These guys probably didn't start right out of the bat in college either, but they learned. They had 3 years or so at least to develop into the process. Kenny Pickett, we could be talking about he's the second coming. I mean, but you know what? We're all in such a hurry to win right now. If he doesn't win first game out, well, he sucks. How many great can't-miss quarterbacks did the Cleveland Browns draft? And you know what? They all sucked. Isn't that interesting how every one of those number one picks that came in all sucked?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, Don. You're talking about immediate gratification and what our society wants and what the NFL has become. And, you know, people are looking at quarterbacks to perform right away, and you're not really giving them any period to develop. I understand that. But, I mean, how do you defend Kenny Pickett
days, you know,
complaining about them bringing in Russell Wilson and then the Steelers reacting accordingly?
Well, regardless, you've got to give somebody a chance.
Okay, I mean, they gave him a chance. They weren't going to get rid of him. They were going to allow him to learn under Russell Wilson, and they can compete for the job. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, yeah, that's one guy we're talking about.
But
all right?
I mean, that's the guy that we're talking about.
If I don't know. I just think that, you know, humans take more time to adapt and to make changes than just get in there and then the press jumps all over him. And, you know, Tom Brady, do you think he would have even gotten a chance here? He'd have been cut.
I don't know. We're really coming up with something here. I don't know. And, I mean,
well,
look,
Johnny
it's not
Unitas
just the media,
the
man.
Way.
I mean,
Johnny Unitas was the same way. You know what? He was a coal miner, okay? And then, you know, somebody in Baltimore thought he had something. Look where he's at right now. You know what? You got to give people a chance to be human before they can be athletes. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
All right, Don. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's maybe I'm just reading too much into this. I mean, this isn't a media creation. This isn't the media jumping all over somebody because they don't perform immediately. I mean, it's a results-based business. You have to win. People lose their jobs if they don't win. So they want quarterbacks to win. It's a capped league. You want guys to perform on rookie-level contracts. I mean, this is a discussion independent of Aaron Rodgers, of course. And I think Kenny Pickett had an opportunity to do that. It wasn't the best opportunity to do that. There are certainly quarterbacks who have had worse situations. You know, I can admit that is true. Kenny Pickett should have been supported better or had a better team around him or had a better situation. At the same time, like, you know, stuff happens, man. I can't feel all that bad. If Kenny Pickett was still here, Kenny Pickett was plugging away and really just earnestly trying to figure it out in Pittsburgh, and he couldn't make it happen for whatever reason, but really, really wanted to, I'd have more patience. If you squawk because somebody's dropped down in front of you and you hadn't earned the job, I don't have an issue. All right, Dante and Swickley wants to talk about Tomlin. What's up, Dante?
Hey, do I count as a first-time caller if I never spoke to you before?
No. Don't misrepresent yourself, Dante. If you've called the station, you are not a first-time caller.
I am not a first-time caller, then.
All right. there are no special prizes awarded for first-time callers or multiple-time callers. You're not missing out.
Just thought you'd kind of like to know. I was driving around listening to your show. I liked it, and it kind of I got so many opinions on so many different things you've been talking about. But I tell you, the one was, how do you judge Tomlin?
Yeah.
And people talk about whether he's won a playoff game or whatever, but I think the most important thing is what you do with the talent that you do have. And it just seems like people in Pittsburgh clearly understand Tomlin hasn't done much with the talent that he's had. We've had seasons where they've had the best team and then they get blown out by Jacksonville in the playoffs. We had a team that won its first 11 games, and all of a sudden Matt Canada decides to run RPOs with Roethlisberger in a shotgun every single solitary play, and they lost 5 out of 6. We've had a season where we had by far the best defense in the league. Matt Canada was pretending like it was grade school football, alternating Duck Hodgkin with with Mason Rudolph instead of trying to really spend some time developing Mason Rudolph. It just makes me sick that the teams don't perform to the level that they should be at, and that's what shows Tomlin's not a good coach. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Dante. He's had talent, and he hasn't done enough with it. I mean, that's a fair criticism.
I agree with what you said about Pickens, too. I guess, you know, listen, a lot of people don't have the best offensive line or the best running game when you get there. But he really didn't handle the political internal adversity well. He turned out to be a crybaby when the Steelers brought in Wilson. He just didn't handle things well in press conferences. He just didn't portend well with the way things should be. And I just lost a lot of respect for him, and I'm kind of glad they moved on. I want to move on from trouble-type players and try to get some upstanding people in that are team-oriented.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Dante. I appreciate it. I got to get to a break. Some great thoughts in there. You looked like a seasoned veteran. You sounded like a seasoned veteran calling in. I appreciate it.
It's all the confidence from you, brother.
Have a good one. Let's talk about those receivers next. We'll do it briefly, and then we'll get to Mike DeFabo at the top of the hour. There have been some no-nonsense, no-frills, just a good collective group of wide receivers. We'll hit on that briefly when we get back. It's Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey. Keep tuned here to Sports Radio 93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Fan. Welcome back to the Fan Evening Show. Jason Mackey here with you until 10:35 tonight, taking you right up until the nightly sports call. Joel Nelson producing behind the glass. The 50-minute mark on the Fan's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Route 19 in Peters Township. And Fan Weather, it's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal services. Chance of rain Friday afternoon in Pittsburgh. Sunny skies and temperatures in the 70s in San Diego for Pirates Padres over the weekend. It's always beautiful in San Diego. We could just say it that way. Kind of jealous, if we're being honest. Noah Hyles is out there on that one. I think it's his first trip to San Diego. It's one of the best in Major League Baseball. He's going to have himself a great time, I can guarantee it. But wanted to talk just briefly about Steelers wide receivers and what a breath of fresh air that has been. DK Metcalf has not been at Steelers OTAs, and I don't expect him to be a headache when he does arrive. He was there for portions not open to the media, and a lot of guys were talking about DK Metcalf and their initial impressions of him. I don't expect anything but great things from DK Metcalf. I don't know if they're deep enough, but I do think that it's going to be a much better collective group. I do think there's some interesting opportunities there. I've liked Robert Woods from afar. He's got 2,000-yard seasons on his resume. I think he can add something. Roman Wilson has looked very good so far. I don't know if that's going to translate into the real or important stuff. Obviously, the Steelers will hope that it can. We're going to get into Jonnu Smith a little bit later in the show as well. I kind of ignored that in our initial topic as we discussed some Aaron Rodgers and bigger picture Steelers scenarios. But obviously, he's going to be part of the pass-catching group. No concerns about Pat Freiermuth. Calvin Austin III, I thought, made some important strides last year. I like Calvin Austin III a lot more as a slot guy, as a speed kind of gadget guy. I'm not sure if he's going to be a clear-cut number two. I don't know if they have a clear-cut number two on the roster, and that's something I do think it's a minor impediment to what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, and that you'd like to have that guy here. You'd like to know who that is. I mean, right now, if DK Metcalf would get hurt, and again, I'll knock on the table in front of me that may or may not be made of wood. You don't want to see him get injured. But if he goes down, you're going to need somebody to step up and take the majority of those reps. I don't have any problem with George Pickens and the trade. I think it was probably time they got something for him. I thought maybe they could do a little bit better, but I wasn't in those negotiations. So far be it from me to say what they should have gotten. But you get George Pickens out of there. I think time had sort of run its course there. It's just a much quieter group. the overall feeling with Steelers wide receivers, there's been a lot of headaches. That has been a drama-filled group for a long time, and right now there just isn't any of that. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing because the drama has basically pivoted to the quarterback in a big way, but the wide receivers, you've just got a bunch of interesting stories. You've got a bunch of guys who need this opportunity. You can almost liken it to the Pirates rotation over the past couple of years where they bring in guys in need of a chance to prove themselves, and that's what the Steelers have. They have a bunch of guys, Wilson, Austin, Woods, etc., guys who can use this as an opportunity to show what they can do. Now, I do hope that they add somebody else. Maybe that becomes Jonnu Smith. I don't know. I hope it's not done, but I think that can be somewhat of a strength of the team that they have a little bit deeper of a group this year. Roman Wilson being healthy, it is obviously part of that. We'll talk to Mike DeFabo of The Athletic next. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about Aaron Rodgers. Mike wrote a piece yesterday about Broderick Jones and Troy Fautanu, those two, the tackles of the future. They've been a storyline at Steelers OTAs. We'll get into all of that with Mike here in a few minutes. Mike DeFabo from The Athletic coming up next. The Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.